don't know if you heard, didn't hear, there was a murder of some Jews in France, Ford. In the store.
What's over here? There's a yeshiva buffer that got stabbed.
He was killed or wasn't killed? He was wounded.
Wounded.
Yeah. But anyways...
It's on JerusalemCast.com.
Okay, I was like, anyways, don't go anywhere. Don't walk anywhere.
Go everywhere. And by, yeah. So the... One of the... Listen to this crazy story. One of a lady who was working there, and she was a cashier in the store in France. She was just there for 3 months. She's French, but she learned here in Israel. She wants to stay in Israel. She was only there for 3 months. She wanted to be with her parents or something. And she was working in the meantime as a cashier or whatever they needed her to do over there. And her cousin, he lives here in Israel. He knew exactly when he heard it right away. He had it on his iPhone. He got right away that there's a terror attack and they're thing there over there. And he knows the place very well. He knows that his cousin lives there. So he had a casual with Abela, and there was someone with Abela, and he called over there to Holland, someone with Abela. He said, "You must go up to the Rav now and tell him that this is what's going on over there. This is the name of my cousin. Daven for that, she'll be okay." He didn't know what's going on inside. He just know there's a terror attack. There was shooting going on. They don't know what's going on. So finally he went up and he called him back and he said, "The Rav said, don't worry. Till Motzei Shabbos, you'll hear that everything's fine. She's 100% good." But he wasn't calm yet. He called the other person. The other person is with the Rav. The person drives the Rav. Go to the Rav again. No. Go tell him that the situation is not good. They're shooting there. So he went. The Rav said again, "Don't worry. Till Motzei Shabbos, 100%, she'll be alive and fine and calm." And then his father also called someone else who was with Abdullah, and three times. And at the end, she was fine. What was the story? It's the first story. It's the first straight
out
of the...
Wasn't she in the locker?
Right.
No. Fresh out of Hashem Erachem. But here, we have miracles always. A person has to be killed will be killed. A person who's not, Hashem will save him. So she was the first one to meet the terrorist. He came in. She's in the cashier in front. Okay? He walks in, shooting all over the place. A long one, not a...
Rifle. No,
not one by one.
AK-47.
Yeah, but not the one by one.
Automatic.
Shooting
an
AK-47.
AK-47. Whatever it is, it's an automatic gun.
Yeah,
it's
a machine gun, no?
It's a machine gun. Yeah. Anyway, he's shooting all over the place, and she immediately dropped herself to the floor, and she didn't get hurt. Other people got hurt. He thought she's dead, so he continued on. An Arab worker over there put six Jews into the freezer so they were saved.
Turn off the lights and the power.
Okay. And, anyways, he realized after she's alive, so he tried to shoot her again. And he missed her head, he missed her legs. Same thing.
Miracles.
He then tells her, "You don't want to die? You don't want to die? What's going on with you?"
The terrorist said this.
Yeah. So she says, "No, I don't want to die. Please don't kill me. Don't kill me. Don't kill me." So he tells her, "Okay, fine. So do what I say, what I order you to do, and I won't kill you." Close all the store as if there's a, close the place, like it's shut. So she's closing the tristine of the store, and right when she's almost done, and an older person, a 60-year-old person, comes and, "Please, I need only one meal." She says, "No, we're closed, we're done." And she tries to push him away, and he forced his way in, and he was murdered on the spot.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You see from Shammai.
A year.
Who calls combine a kosher store? Yeah, so you see a person who has to be killed, he will cut, and Hashem will bring in, he'll force himself to be killed. And he didn't know what he's getting himself into. She tried to push him away, but he forced himself in. So then, he went to call the other people down from downstairs. And one person tried to grab the gun from him. He was able to, but he had another gun, a pistol on him. Then he killed him. And then he killed another person, tried to fight with him. He killed him too. It's all long. And there was one person, another story inside there. He tried to ask, "Where are you from?" And the guy answered him in Moroccan Arabic, "I'm from Djelba." Or Maghreb. It's a city in Morocco. And he's talking in Moroccan Arabic. Like your wife talks. And he thought he's an Arab. So he said, "Okay, you sit aside, don't bother me over here. I'm busy now." And he was saved because of that. For Shamayim, someone has to be saved, they give him the right words, and the Arab, the right. And also the miracle was that that when they broke in, the Arab, instead of going killing the Jews, he went and tried fighting with many, many soldiers, policemen outside, which of course they killed him on the spot. So of course the disaster and everything, but you see there's also miracles everywhere. With all the problems and everything, and also in the Holocaust, even though it was, we can't even imagine what it was, people who were in there will tell you a lot, many miracles that happened to them all through, 5 years, 6 years in the camps, and they still had that, all kinds of miracles happening to them. Because Hashem is Hashgacha Pratit and everything, and everything. So Zad Hashem, we should have Tzvi Luri Nishma, all the people who murdered.
The lady in Brooklyn, Rebbetzin Jagra, you ever heard of her?
Who?
Rebbetzin Jagra. She lived through the war.
She had books on her life.
When she was young. She was like in her 80s or 90s.
Yeah, my bubby told me. She knows her.
I read her books, amazing books. Amazing. She committed life, they committed marriage, amazing books.
So if the terrorist comes up to you and say, are you Jewish? And you say, you could say, no, I'm not?
Of course. Because nothing.
Yeah.
The Rosh Hashanah said, whatever you can say, but in your heart you can say no for something else.
Well, once we were in Amsterdam, we're selling Alaj's book, so we walk into a store, and we say, "His car, we're selling this amazing book." Everyone speaks English in Holland. Everyone, very good English. Like American, some people American English, some people they speak British English. So, oh, you guys are Jews for Jesus? The guy asked. Yeah. Told me, yeah, of course. What do you mean? That's who we are. Oh, I love you guys. You're the best. How much you sell this? 20 euro. Oh, I'll buy it from you, of course. But he bought a book. Afterwards, we walked out. I tell my friend, how did he say that thing? Who cares? He bought the book. He's going to read it. He'll start believing in the Getchkas and the Shushin. And I believe in Hashem. So just three things we don't do. You know what?
An Amish.
We're wearing our priestly clothing, you know, priestly garments. Anyways.
Speaking of the garments, is there such a time where tzniut is just too overboard? Sometimes I see people that are just almost looking a little like a, you know, like a Muslim, very, you know, face covering. Are those Jewish people that are doing that, or is that?
You mean the women in the burqas?
Yeah, is that Jewish?
Burqa, the burqa.
The Torah Karta would wear that.
Some people do that. Very few. I have no comment about what you asked. And,
So I should ask.
Ask them.
Okay.
Why don't you ask them?
They won't talk to you.
I love the rabbi. You're my
keep walking. They won't talk to you. Keep walking. As if you didn't say it. Sure, if you cover themselves, they're not
going to
talk to you
either. Hey, there might be a terrorist under there, you never know.
I didn't know it was a Jewish person.
It's blue.
In much of the Torah Karta,
yeah, that's
not color. Black.
No, it's not black.
The Arabs wear black.
Oh, I see.
Much of them, the Torah Karta walk around like that.
Also, in Munster?
I thought there were two people
in that idea. The main rabbi is in Munster. Rabbi.
It looks like those guys that are really tall have two people in there. I would have to take their faces. It's really nice. The
right here.
Biker. Oh.
British one.
So, Mishu Kadosh, someone who's holy, he merits to have children which love the Torah. He merits to have children which are Tamid Chachamim and they're important people. He merits to have children which will write commentary on the Torah. He merits to build his house spiritually and physically. He merits to fix all the gambling that he's done in his life. And Hashem does miracles to him. And he's saved from being in the jail. That's a good thing. I want to be holy. That's kind of a good thing. A person who works on his kedusha and his faithfulness, he merits zikaron. Memory doesn't only mean memory in the Torah. It means to remember always Hashem in every moment.
Oh.
He merits midah busha from Hashem. Yeah, always feels shame from Hashem.
Humility,
feel
humble.
He merits to have adinut nefesh, edelkeit, and here's what she say, like edel is someone. How do you say in English?
Yeah.
Adinut, yeah. Gentle, like gentleness.
Gentle,
and everyone loves the way he looks. I mean, they like the person, the personality of the person. And many, many other good things. He's saved from danger, from other weird ways of getting killed and that. So. But the main answer is not all what we said. The main answer is like this. This book is not a book of likutim, of gathering from all kinds of holy books about how what the advantages of being holy and what are the negative disadvantages of being not holy. Okay? Rather, this book is the manual of a person, a clear and a right way how to reach, yeah, in the best way, the easiest way for himself and for everyone who's around him, everyone who depends on him, how to reach these levels. It's not talking, it's how to get there. Like all Rabbeinu's books, Rabbeinu's main idea is how to bring a person to do. That's why Rav Arush wrote this book. It's not just to tell you how great is Kedusha and how not great is not Kedusha. No. He wrote the book to bring a person to work on himself. Okay? Kiraka sheyotzi mitavat nashim shikula ava atzmit. Because only when one exits lust for women, which is all self-loving, loving yourself, then a person could live a life of a mutual respect between him and his wife, life of derech eretz, life of true love and unity between him and his wife, life of truth, life which he will have power, kochot nefesh, to go through them. An internal osher, echo
mevushal.
Riches. No, not riches, the aleph.
Osher.
Like happiness, yeah. Therefore, each one who now comes to learn this book, he should approach this learning with simcha, with hope, that he could change himself and he could reach a higher place in his life. And then, of course, he'll merit you to reach those levels. So, that till now was introduction. Now we're moving on from the introduction to the preparation. That was introduction to the book. Now it's the preparation to the book.
What's the name? I'm sorry.
Briti Shalom. In English, they call it Garden of Purity, right?
Go on, I'm finishing it up for the second time. Amazing.
Now you're starting it for the third time with me. But you finished it in English.
In English, I mean, yeah.
Ah, the baby. But that's how that is.
Somebody knows English and Hebrew. Isn't it better to read Hebrew?
Sure. Yeah. But if he's not going to read it because it's in Hebrew, even though he knows Hebrew, so it's kind of.
No, I know, but I'd rather read English. I don't know. It's a
new script. Yeah. And this book exists. Very deep guidance to life of Kedusha and cleaving to the Creator all the time. The guidance in this book, it all comes out of Chazal or the Gdolei HaChassidut, right? Like we're going to bring here, Rav Arush says that in this book he's going to bring a lot of quotes from all kinds of books about Kedusha, about how important it is to work on your Kedusha, on your holiness. Sefer zeh kmo yeter ha-sfarim she-Hashem yitbarach hanan oti lichtov. This book, like all the rest of the books that Hashem Barach graced me to write, lo nechtav echatchila kesefer shel likutim v'tzitutim, wasn't written initially as a book of just quotes. And Anichtav mitoch ha-chayim, rather, was written out of life and not of what I learned from my personal work and with the dealings I have to engage with all kinds of people that come and talk with me, and the way Hashem enlightened me with the advice that He strengthened me with, according to the Holy Torah. Nevertheless, in this book, I went out of my way to bring along the book all kinds of quotes from all kinds of books. Why did I change? Why did I change this book and the other books? Because this subject of Dusha is so essential, Merkazi name, right? That the Yetzer Hara fights it with all his might. And also because the things that are written here to arouse a person to start working on these things are far away from the concept of most of the world. Therefore, I brought all kinds of support from big tzaddikim and famous tzaddikim that people know about, and they wrote and they spoke about these things, clear things, explicit things which you cannot explain in two ways. And that's how I'm leaning on their wide shoulders. That's how I can take to myself to explain. And these are the names of part of the books which I'm quoting from. Chazal and the Gemara and the Midrashim and the Zohar Kodesh and the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Nachman of Breslev and his student Rabbi Natan, the Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Pinchas of Koritz, Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzera, which is the USA, it was on Sunday, Sefer Charedim, Achida, Or HaChaim, HaKodesh, Chidush HaArim, the Kotzke Rabbi, the Pele Yoetz, Tzfa Semes, Shomer Munim, Adon Tov Desaron, Berma and Chaim, Vaeged Yaakov, Ve'od. We should know that a lot than what I brought down I found. But I tried to minimize. I don't have to bring all the quotes that I found. Also, the way I write, I try to leave it in a simple way so everyone can read it and connect to it. So, and Zad Hashem Achal, we continue more with Briti Shalom.